Amen. All right, I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. You can shut that door over there probably because there's going to be people coming in and out of there. Somebody would get that. That'd be great. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15 is just going to be a starting verse here. And then we're going to move on. And what I'm going to talk to you about here. The Bible says this. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I'm going to start a series on you, with you on the rapture. And I want you to start studying yourselves. I mean, all of us should be studying. We should be studying to show ourselves approved unto God. Amen. Now, the Apostle Paul is talking to young Timothy here when he gives him these instructions, and he tells him to study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, to know the word of God. There's been a long-held belief among, well, I shouldn't say long-held. Let me start over here for a second here. God's command to his children, to his people, is to study to show themselves approved unto God. Now, most people have grown up, if you've grown up in a fundamental church, most of the times what you've grown up hearing is that the rapture is pre-tribulation. I mean, I have all the authors, okay? I've got a library full. You can come downstairs and look at my library in my house, and take a look at it. I've got the pre-trib authors. Hey, I even have some post-trib authors that I didn't even know were post-trib, but I found out this week they are, and there's quite a few of them that are. Actually, predominantly, the Baptists were post-tribulational Baptists. I'll prove that later, though. Not today. Now, that doesn't mean that that's right just because they were. We're going to take our authority from the scriptures. But the reason I want to bring you this is because God has revealed some things unto me through studying, through reading. And you and I ought never to be in a position in our lives where the word of God cannot correct us. We ought never to be in a place where we say, you know, there are some men out there that believe it is a virtue that they have never changed a position that they have held since they were trained in Bible college. There are some men that believe that. Now, I'm not bashing people that go to Bible college. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. What I am saying is that there are some that say, well, I just believe everything that I... Well, I don't. I didn't go to Bible college, but I don't believe everything that somebody taught me at one time. I don't believe all of those things that I was taught. I have been like a Berean, and I have tried to study those things out to make sure that these things are so. Amen. You know, if you don't, half of the ministries that are here right now in this church would not be here if your pastor did not believe in studying to show himself approved unto God. Do you understand that? We wouldn't have a man that moved from Texas to be here to street preach and to be an evangelist and go out and do what an evangelist does if your pastor didn't believe in looking at the scriptures. What does the Bible say about evangelism? Wouldn't be here. So understand this, you may not agree with everything I bring you. That's fine. You don't have to. That's the beauty of being the priest or the believer. You don't have to. You can study yourself and you can see what God gives you and what you see from the scriptures. Amen. You can. That's not, you know, some churches have requirements. If you don't believe this, then you can't be here. You have to agree with everything. No, you don't have to agree with everything. Hey, guess what? All down through the history, there have been people that have disagreed on prophecy. That might be a shock to you, but it really is true. Now, in today's, I'm trying to think of the right word to put it here, but there's like this paralyzing effect on people today that if you differ from anybody else in a topic, on the Bible, then you must be a heretic. There must be something wrong with you if you don't believe what somebody else taught you or so and so taught, then there's something wrong with you. That's not the way it's always been, though. Amen. It hasn't always been that way. There was always room for differences. And there ought to be today room for differences. Now, I do believe what I'm going to teach you is the absolute truth from the Word of God. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be teaching you. You understand that? I would not teach you what I didn't believe. At one time, I believed in a pre-tribulation rapture, but you want to know why? I'm going to tell you the truth why. Because Saul handed me his armor and said, wear it. Okay? And what did David say when Saul handed him his armor? He said, I haven't proved it yet. I can't wear that armor. No. There's a lot of people today that are putting on armor that somebody handed them. that they have no business wearing because they've not proved it. I taught it because it was taught to me, not because I studied out myself and seen the truth of it clearly. Amen. Just telling you the truth. See, I can admit to you that I've been wrong about things before. And I allowed the Word of God to correct me. I've allowed the Word of God to correct me. I'm not ashamed of that. I'd be more ashamed if I knew the truth and I hid it from you because I was too scared to bring it to you. Because I thought you might leave or get upset or hate me for it. Because if I can't bring you the truth, then I ought to go get an honest job delivering pizzas. If I can't look you in the eye and tell you what I believe the Word of God is saying here, then I shouldn't be doing it. I should just pack up and I should move on. Amen? I should. However, the Bible, this command that we see from the Scriptures, it ought to be obeyed. But some people, we just find ourselves buying everything hook, line, and sinker and being lazy believers. And lazy, and not being Bereans, but not studying. Now again, I'm not saying that everybody I'm going to get into that in a second here, so let me just finish and then I'll get into that. Because I'm opening up with some of these kind of misunderstandings, and I want to lay a foundation for this series. So people don't think that, well, you just think that everybody that believes this is this. No, don't label me. Don't put me in a box. You're going to have a real hard time doing it, I promise you. Because you can't make me a Ruckmanite because I'm not one of those. You can't make me a Heilsite because I'm not one of those, okay? I'm not those people. I'm not a Baptist brighter. I'm not one of those either. You can't put me in that box. It just doesn't, I don't fit in there. Believe me. People have tried to cram me in it, but it doesn't work. Because it's not me. I'm not that person. Amen. So understand that. I don't fit into boxes real easy that people try to put me in. Because I'll give you a hint. I don't agree with what a lot of fundamental Baptists believe about divorce. I don't agree with them because I don't believe it's Scripture what they say. And I believe I can take the Word of God and prove that, and do and have. You know, but I'm not a dispensationalist either. Not in the sense of what they use dispensationalism as. Now let me say this: I do believe in some aspects of dispensationalism. I do agree with it, but I'm not what you would call a dispensationalist. I'm not. I don't. Why? Because, well, first of all, I don't believe in dispensational salvation either. I don't believe that. I don't believe that somebody is going to go to heaven and they're going to be walking up the streets of heaven. They're going to be bragging about how their works got them there. No, I don't believe anybody's going to be doing that. I don't believe there's going to be one part of heaven that says, yeah, I got here by my works. And the other guy says, oh, I got here by God's grace. No, that ain't going to happen. So I don't believe in Ruckmanism. I don't believe in hyper-dispensationalism. And I don't believe in their salvation. I don't believe it's biblical. Amen. You get there by the blood or you don't get there at all, friend. Amen. There ain't no work of righteousness that anybody done from Genesis to Revelation that got them forgiveness of sins. Now, there are works of righteousness that were evidences of their conversion. But guess what? If you trace it from Genesis to Revelation, you will find that's what it was evidence of belief. I like for all the hyper-dispensationalists that tell me that you know, there's dispensational salvation like that. And then I say, well, okay, read Hebrews chapter 11 then. By faith! By faith! By faith! By faith! By faith! Okay. And that was to the Hebrews, remember? Remember, I don't get to read that. That's not mine, remember? That's the Hebrews. Okay, so that's Jews. So he's telling the Jews that it's always by faith. So there you go. I'll use your own argument against you. Amen. Understand that. The truth ought to be able to come out. Now, why am I teaching this? Why? What am I not teaching when I teach a post-tribulation rapture? What am I not teaching? Number one, I'm not teaching that the local church replaces the nation of Israel. I'm not teaching that. Okay, now I don't believe in what people call see, that's where you can't put me in that box again. I don't believe in something called the church. As in the universal church. By the way, I don't see a rapture of the church. I see a rapture of the saints. I see a rapture of God's elect. That's what I see. I don't see a rapture of the church. Keep looking for it. It's not there. Right, exactly. There is no the church on this side. Unless you're talking about the local New Testament church in that city. Okay, anyway. So, just to get that straight. No, I'm not trying to, because how could a nation of Israel, of Jews, that how could either one of us replace each other when we're too different? We'll all be one day, though. Isn't God able to graft them back in? Isn't that what he's going to do? See, but some people have taught you this when you look at your Bible. Some people have taught you this. That's what you do with the Bible. You just chop it all up into different things, and what you like, you pull it into that dispensation. What you don't like, you take out of that dispensation. You apply it to somebody else. Never mind the principles that are throughout the scriptures. Never mind those. But let's just chop it up and get rid of it. I don't believe that. Now, obviously, I know I'm not to build an ark like Noah. I understand that. That's just plain common sense. Okay? And I also understand that I have the completed Word of God. Perfect, inspired, infallible. I get that. Okay? I understand all that. All right. So, first of all, no, I'm not, there is no the church on the earth, and no, I don't believe in replacement theology. I do not believe that. If you study out what Charles Spurgeon believed, him and I would be in somewhat of an agreement because Charles Spurgeon was a post-tribulation rapturist, and you know what else he believed? He also believed that God was going to save, there was going to be a saving remnant of Israel. And I believe that too. I believe that. Okay. So don't try to put me in a box and say, you know, you replace Israel. No, I don't believe in that. That's wrong. I don't believe that at all. Not in the least bit. Amen. So anyway, I'll further illustrate that later. I'm not preaching. Also, I want you to understand something. I'm not preaching that people who are pre-trib are all heretics. I want you to understand that. This conversation about this subject of pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, if you go down through, and I guarantee you may not think it's an issue, but every Baptist church, it is an issue. It is an issue if one of your brethren differs from you, it becomes an issue. I can guarantee you it does. I know people that will not tell their pastor what they believe about it because they're afraid what he's going to say to them. Yeah, there's a lot like that. Amen? So, anyway, I don't think that just because somebody is pre-trib, oh man, they must be a heretic. Why? Because we differ on prophecy? Yeah, I believe what I'm going to teach you is correct according to the Word of God, but you're trying to tell me that, you know, can't somebody just be wrong and not be a heretic? Can they just be wrong? I mean, can we have a civil discussion? Can people just be wrong? No, I just believe they're wrong on that point. The charge of a heretic should be reserved for issues of Christ and salvation. That's what they should be issues of. Not about a difference in prophecy. It shouldn't be. However, but when you're trying to defend a system of dispensationalism and be rigid at it, it must not suffer loss. You cannot strike down one point of dispensationalism without those that hold strictly to dispensationalism. They start getting rabid on you. They do. Understand that. Heresy is saved for those who deny the doctrines of Christ concerning salvation. It's not for every difference that somebody might have with you. That word heretic has been thrown around too much. Way too much. Listen, I have close brethren that are dear, that are pre-trib. They're not heretics. And they're not enemies of the cross. They're not. It's just ridiculous to even make that charge. But there are people out there that make those charges and they say things like that. You know what? If you want to shut somebody off real quick when you're having a discussion, just go ahead and call them a heretic when it comes to something like that. Now, if somebody tells me that this is not the Word of God and this has errors in it, then I'm going to call them a heretic. I am, because this is the Word of God. These are the words of life. So if you're James White, yeah, you're the biggest heretic that walked the face of the earth. Yeah. Yeah. No problem saying that. Absolutely no problem. Why? Because you're trying to destroy the authority. That's why. And that's the Word of God and salvation are two things that somebody can be absolutely heretical on, and I don't want anything to do with them. I just don't. But a difference in prophecy is not a reason to try to label somebody that. I'm trying to lay this out so you understand. So once this goes online and people hear it and your family members hear it and your friends hear it and everybody else hears it and they start saying that Pastor Cooley believes that everybody's a heretic, that this will be online that it'll say, no, Pastor Cooley didn't say that everybody was a heretic. It's right there. We disagree. Now, to some men, like my friend Brother Ickes, him and I just have a disagreement on prophecy. Why? Well, because he's not holding to this staunch, I have to defend dispensationalism at any cost. So what is it? I'll give you a perfect example. I would go and have preach for them and have them preach for me. And I would go there and preach with him with no problem. Now, there's another man that's out in Arizona, and that man does not believe in biblical repentance for salvation. And he has a heretical message. And he is post-trib. He's right on some prophecy. But he's wrong on salvation. I wouldn't go anywhere near that guy. But I would preach with my pre-trib brothers all day long. Because why? Because they understand salvation. They understand this is the Word of God. They understand that. They don't gut the gospel. Do you understand the difference? So this is not like a separating, dividing line for me that if anybody disagrees or that oh man, I just can't. Really? No, I don't believe that. And I do believe what I'm going to teach. Again, let me say this. I do believe what I'm teaching you is completely biblical and it is right. But I'm saying there are issues that we go to war over when it comes to this Bible and salvation and repentance and things like that. There are other issues that we teach and we can say, well, okay, I understand. You don't agree. I think you're wrong, but we can deal with that. You know, and why can you be that way? Well, because I was wrong too. See how that works? I've been wrong too. But when you're talking about salvation, when you're talking about the Word of God, you're dealing with a whole different subject there. Amen. So, understand that. You know, after I teach this, you may disagree with me. Well, I believe you're wrong. I won't call you a heretic for it, and I won't believe you are one if you disagree. I just don't. Let me say this too, because these arguments have been made, and I want people to understand that I don't believe what some other people believe about this subject in the way that it's handled. So I'm going to be very clear with you. I think it's very important, otherwise I wouldn't teach you. But I'm trying to lay this down so you understand. And plus, so it can be on record for you to be able to show somebody else. Because believe me, they're going to ask you. I do not believe the reason someone is pre-trib is because they just don't want to suffer for Christ and want to just get out of here without any persecution. Not everybody's like that. Okay, I have brethren that go out on the streets and they've suffered jail time. They've been spit on. They've had bottles of urine thrown on them preaching the Word of God. They've sat in jail for the Word of God. They've suffered greatly for God. So don't say that. Don't make statements like that. Why? Well, first of all, it doesn't prove your point. It does not prove your point. All it does is ratchet up rhetoric. It doesn't prove the point. It doesn't prove that you're right. And plus, you alienate a bunch of people that's not true. I know for sure there are men that would suffer. They have and they will, if need be. I just believe they're wrong. I believe that many have not taken a thorough look at this through the Scriptures alone. I believe that that's the case with many of them. I do not believe also that preacher people are lazy, unlearned, and not studied men. I don't believe that either. I believe they might be studying some wrong resources and looking in some wrong directions and not taking it in a literal sense, which I will prove in another message later, not today, but some other time. But I don't believe that they are just men that don't want to study. I mean, I've got a lot of preacher brethren, and I have learned a lot from them. Okay? And I, I've got Ruckman's books in my library, and I've learned a lot from Ruckman, and he's pre-trib. I you know, names don't scare me. People don't scare me. I told you, you can't put me in either boxes, but I've learned from him. I've learned things from him. Amen. I've learned a lot. I've learned from men like Spurgeon. I'm not a Calvinist. Okay? I've learned from men like Bullinger and men like that that are what I would consider hyper-dispensationalists and people like that. I've learned some things from them. So, you can't say that these people are just, well, they're just lazy people that don't. No, just stop that. That's the reason I'm bringing it, because there are people out there that will lump me together with everybody else, and I want you to be clear. I'm not worried about what you think, because you know me well enough to know where I stand on things. However, I know what's going to happen when people hear this. So I want you to have a point of reference. Understand that. I want you to have a point of reference so you can help others with it. By the way, I'm not angry with anyone but the devil. I have no axe to grind with anybody. I'm not trying to alienate anybody or break fellowship with anybody who's not post-trib. I want you to understand that. I think this, again, this subject, some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about right now, and I get it, okay? But just keep listening and you'll figure it out. Brother Russ and other people that deal with people about this subject and have dealt with things, he gets it, okay? Brother Paul knows how people with prophecy and they question that, how they can, it can get pretty heated with things, and people can get upset about things, and people can be very rigid with things, and man, they just, it just blows up into this big, huge thing. It doesn't have to. Amen. By the way, let me say another thing here. I do not believe that when the tribulation comes that my pre-trib brothers in Christ will just follow the Antichrist. I don't believe that either. That charge has been made by some people. Listen, if they have the Holy Ghost of God inside them, they are not going to be fooled. Okay, so don't make stupid statements like that. That's just ridiculous. Just stop making statements like that. It's just it doesn't. I see people when they argue this and explain this subject. That's one of the things they say. Stop doing that. It doesn't add to it. Again, it's just ratchets up a bunch of rhetoric, and it's not true. I know born again believers will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are sealed on the day of redemption will follow Him. Amen. Or they'll die, one of the two. But they will follow Him. They're not going to turn away. The Holy Ghost ain't just going to take a hike from them and leave them. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee was the promise of God. So let's not make foolish statements like that. I'm telling you this in case somebody asks you and you try to teach them on this and you try to share some things with them, that you don't make these statements, because they are not profitable statements to make. And they don't do anything to teach the subject. All they do is keep people from listening to it. They're not going to hear anything you say when you make statements like that. I'm just laying it out there that I don't believe that. Okay, I don't believe that. And I'll teach you today what about the falling away. And there will be some people that will. But they're not saved. And I'll show you that. They weren't saved to begin with. That's the point. All right. By the way, the next thing I want to share with you is being post-trib does not mean you're anti-Semitic. Because that's another term. Oh, you must hate the Jews, or you must not believe that Israel's going to be. That's a foolish statement to make. I don't know anybody that is post-trib that I personally know that has any hate. But you're not allowed to hate people anyway as a born-again believer. You're not allowed to just throw hate around and be that way. How can you be right with God and hate people? It's just ridiculous. So that's a foolish charge. I mean, there might be some people out there that are like that, but they got their own problems. That's a problem with the heart. Anyway. Also, I'm not preaching when I preach post-tribulation that Christians can take the mark and be saved. I'm not preaching that either. The Bible's very clear. But it also says He causeth, which is another story. I don't have time to explain that. Christians, born-again believers of the Holy Ghost of God inside them, are not going to take the mark. Why? Because it's those that follow the beast and want to buy, sell, and trade, do this. They follow Him, and then they take the mark. But that's another lesson. We'll do a message on the mark, and I'll explain that to you later. But I do not believe that born. But John MacArthur's out there saying, "Oh, Christians can take the mark and still be saved. Well, that's ridiculous. That's heresy, is what that is. But it's ridiculous. No, they can't. And anyway. Yeah, it is. That's right. We need to have a great spirit when discussing this. I don't pretend to have all the answers, and I'll admit that to you. I'm not going to tell you, hey, I got it all figured out. I know how it's all. I got it all figured out. No, I really don't have it all figured out. I don't think any preacher does. Now, they might tell you that they do, but I get leery of people that tell me they got it all figured out. Even Brother Ickes, who him and I disagreed on this subject, even he says, you know, I don't argue this subject because I know that I've seen over the years great theologians argue this and battle this subject out like that. And he goes, to me, it's a difference in prophecy. It's not anything worse than that. And I agree with him. But you know, we'll talk about some of the consequences and other things later. But I agree with what he says as far as that goes, because there is some of that. Anyway, again, but I believe what I'm teaching you is strictly from the Word of God and it is right. Otherwise, I wouldn't teach you. I do believe it was right. Or I do believe it was right. I also believe that many of the sermons that the Lord has had me preach over the last year concerning the spirit world and preparation and understanding those things has been all leading up to this. I do believe that. I believe God has been doing that to... I do believe that spiritual deception is coming greater than we can ever imagine. And I do believe there's a falling away coming, and I'm going to prove that to you. And I do, from the scriptures, I'm going to prove to you a few things. But anyway, and I do believe that the man of sin will be revealed. And I do believe that we're seeing that spirit of Antichrist already at work. And we're seeing the preparations for that now. Have been for years, obviously, but Paul said it was in his day. John said it was in his day. So it's already at work. Well, what are we going to cover in this series? Well, the next hour we're going to cover the word tribulation. We're going to study what the Bible says about tribulation. We're going to go through the scriptures and see what the Bible says about that. We're also going to cover the next hour. We'll cover a longer sermon that'll be on eminency. Is the doctrine of eminency biblical? And eminency means the imminent return. Nothing has to happen on God's prophetic calendar but the rapture. Is that what the Bible says? Well, we'll see if that's what it says. We're going to cover the elect. Who are the elect? We're going to study that. Who are the elect? We're going to study the day of Christ. What is the day of Christ? We're going to study the day of the Lord. We're going to study what are the signs of the rapture in Matthew chapter 24. We're going to study the sixth seal. Amen. We're going to study the mark. What is the mark? What's the Bible mean by the mark and what's going to happen with the mark? And, you know, a few different, there's others that I can't remember exactly right now, but there's going to be more. There's going to be quite a few. There'll probably be 15, 20 sermons on this by the time we're done. Amen. But, I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot to study. And there's a lot to go through. But, you know, I believe that the Bible is very clear about this. And I believe we have to take it through the scriptures and see what the Bible says clearly. What I want you to do is just look at the Word of God alone. I don't want you to look at anything else, but look at what's being brought to you and then go home and study it yourself. You know, you go home and study it. Don't be lazy. Don't just believe what I say to you. Go home and study it yourself. You know, go home and see what it says, what the scriptures say about the day of Christ, about the signs of the rapture, about the sixth seal. Amen. About many of the other things that are there. You know, look and see what the Bible says about it. And then study to show yourself approved unto God. You know, we might have a message on dispensationalism too. Might do that too. As a system. Again, I believe in some of the principles of dispensationalism. I don't deny that. Because some of the principles are biblical. Amen? So there's no reason to just say all of it's junk. No, it's not. There's just some principles of it that are correct, and there's some that I believe that I can prove from the scriptures that are false. And that's when you start talking about things like that, that's what scares people. But listen, I've learned from men like Clarence Larkin. Some of you don't know who Clarence Larkin is, but I've read quite a few of his books. In fact, I read a book of his, one of the best books I've ever read is called The Spirit World by Clarence Larkin. I don't agree with his gap theory, his day-age theory, and a few of the other things in there, but I'll tell you what, he had a lot of good insightful things in there on other things. No, he didn't believe the King James. He corrected the King James Bible, but he had some pretty good things in there. Back then, there wasn't staunch defenders as many. You know, you understand, now we're all connected with a world wide web that goes like this. There were men that were still fighting that revised version. They stood firm against it. There always have been men that stood against it. However, now we have the internet, so we all know where everybody's at right away now. It's all like connect. It's faster. You know, you can't hide anything now. It just goes everywhere, you know. Right, exactly. People are waking up and they're seeing the truth of that. So what I want you to do is just, this is just an opening. It's not meant to be deep. It's just something to get started. It's a reference point for us to get started. The next hour, we'll get into it pretty deep. Okay. We'll start to dig into some things. And the third hour, we'll really dig into some things. That's a longer message. And that's on eminency. And, it'll give you some things to think about. I just hope you understand that what I want to show you is what I believe the truth is from the Word of God, and I want you to be equipped with it. You know, I want you to know the truth. I want you to study it and be strong and be Bereans yourselves and learn. You know, anyway, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. We pray, Lord, that you just please would bless this next hour and help us to understand all these truths from your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.